The Czech writer Jaroslav Hašek is best known today for his hilarious anti-war novel, The Good Soldier Švejk. Hašek's own biography, however, is perhaps just as farcical and action-packed as his most famous book. In this edition of Czech History, prepared by Colleen O'Connor, we look at the life and times of this world-renowned author.
One summer evening, Hašek came into our tavern dressed as if he were in his apartment. He was in short sleeves, wore slippers, and held up his trousers with his hand. He confessed that his wife, Shura, had locked up his shoes, suspenders, and coat. He was on his way to the pharmacy. His wife was sick, and the doctor had given her a prescription. In order not to be making a trip for nothing, he'd brought along a jug. Before the tavern keeper had filled his jug and before he'd drunk a glass of beer at the counter, he played pool with us. He came back a week later with a jug of beer, but without any medicine. After all, the medicine was no longer necessary. His wife was in good health again. Too much so, he laughed.
By all accounts, the Nobel Prize-winning author Jaroslav Seifert's recollections of Jaroslav Hašek are typical of the writer, who is famous today for his book The Good Soldier Švejk. The rambling story of a humble infantryman in the First World War, whose natural wit and charm helps him avoid all the carnage without getting into trouble with the authorities. In the time since the book was written 9 decades ago, its protagonist, Švejk, has become a kind of pacifist hero, whose many trials and travails have inspired other writers such as Catch-22 author Joseph Heller and the German playwright Bertolt Brecht. The story of Hašek's own life, however, is possibly even more tragicomic and eventful than that of his most famous character. Hašek was born in Prague in 1883, at a time of rising Czech national consciousness. He was obviously affected by the heady atmosphere of that era, and is known to have participated in anti-German riots in Prague when he was barely 14. He later joined the anarchist movement, and this naturally led to many conflicts with the authorities. He was frequently imprisoned for short periods, and was once jailed for assaulting a policeman. He began eking out a living as a writer and journalist when he was just 17, and was well known, perhaps even notorious, in Prague cultural circles. The translator, journalist and Hašek aficionado Jan Čap, whom I fittingly met in Prague's lively Montmartre Café, where Hašek was once a regular, says that the writer's fame during this period probably had more to do with his legendary drinking exploits and anarchic, slightly surreal personality than it did with any literary prowess.
What I read about memoirs of his contemporaries, I always had a feeling that he was some kind of embodiment of Dada or surrealism, which they were trying intellectually to achieve. So he was quite a legend about cabarets and especially beer houses and pubs around Prague, because he was a very good storyteller and entertainer as well.
Although Hašek quietened down a little at the insistence of his wife Jarmila when he got married in 1910, he was unable to stay out of mischief for very long. He soon reverted to his old habits, and the pair separated a couple of years later. He returned to his old bohemian lifestyle, carousing and boozing and generally getting into trouble. Memorable incidents of this time included getting arrested for pretending to be a Russian spy, and being committed to an asylum for feigning suicide by jumping off Charles Bridge. He was to leave Prague for a number of years when he was called up in 1915 to fight for the Austro-Hungarian Empire in the First World War. This experience was to provide him with much of the material for The Good Soldier Švejk. Like his protagonist, Hašek was to see little action, as he ended up surrendering to the Russians just a few months after he joined up. Also like Švejk, Hašek landed on his feet, and spent much of the rest of the war working in the comfortable office of a prison camp commandant. He remained in Russia for a couple of years after the conflict, and even became a Bolshevik, working as a Soviet commissar in a small town. This is one of the few times in Hašek's life when he gave up drinking, and he actually led an orderly existence for more than 2 years. It seems that he soon tired of this sober life, however, or perhaps his non-conformist personality could not adapt to the strictures of Soviet society. In any event, he turned up in Prague again in 1920, with a new Russian wife, even though he hadn't bothered divorcing his first one. Once back in Prague, Hašek quickly began drinking again, and hanging out in the working-class neighbourhood of Žižkov, in the dubious company of people like the famous anarchist rebel František Sauer. Jan Čap says it wasn't long before Hašek also started getting up to more mischief. This included helping to organise a farcical battle reenactment to celebrate the anniversary of one of the most famous Czech victories under Jan Žižka during the Hussite Wars.
František Sauer, being like the main hero of Žižkov underworld, he organised a 500 years anniversary of reenactment of the Battle of Vítkov. I mean, very important date. And he organized hundreds of people who put on the swords and they actually sit on horses and they were trying to reenact the battle at Žižkov Hill. But they started in the afternoon, which was a pity because they started very early planning that in the morning. So they were all drunk and actually the Czechs lost in this reenactment. So this is what Hašek was also involved through Franta Sauer.
Sauer was actually instrumental in getting the first volume of Švejk published when Hašek began developing the character in 1921. Sauer also played a key role in arranging for the artist Josef Lada to do his famous illustrations for the book, which are now synonymous with Švejk. As Jan Schaap recounts, however, the artist was hired in a typically anarchic Hašek fashion.
The Good Soldier Švejk was first published in installments, in a little books. It wasn't like a novel at once. And they needed an illustrator for that. So they decided to invite this young illustrator, who wasn't really a student, but he was not famous. Josef Lada was not famous at the time. And there is a beautiful game. They play these old drinkers. They play with this young guy. They are putting the price, I mean his fee, higher and higher. And Josef Lada remembers how he was really impressed because they were legends already for him. So he was very happy to work for them. And they say, like, Franta, do you think that half a crown for illustration would be enough? And he said, like, let's make it 1 crown. And they were putting the price up and up, and he never got the money. And he had to pay the bill for that evening anyway.
Although Švejk was a popular success from the outset, the book was not appreciated in some quarters. There were many Czechs who felt his apparent double talk and sneaky evasiveness offered a bad example of the nation's character. Some also felt that the Rabelaisian vulgarity of the novel was not a good advertisement for the newly independent Czechoslovak Republic. Today, however, many Czechs have long since identified with the character of Švejk. And the uncanny ability of this little man to plough his own furrow in the face of overbearing authority has come to be seen as a symbol of their own non-violent resistance to cultural and political domination by more powerful neighbours. Jan Schaap says Hašek's wonderful affinity with the Czech language also added to his credentials as a patriot, even though his own sense of Czechness was far removed from the grandiose nationalism of many of his contemporaries.
He could be seen as a patriot, and I believe he was, but definitely not in the way the patriotism was here, with sort of flags and national martyrs and sort of redigging the whole history and reinventing. He was mocking that all the life. So I think that he was patriot in the sense that he liked the ordinary little people. He was patriot in that, and he was very good in Czech language, very good ear, and he was playful. I believe that Prague is happy to have a writer as he was, and I believe all cultures have some kind of hero like this.
Like many folk hero writers from other countries, Hašek's attitude to life has captured the Czech public imagination to such an extent that he now embodies something more than a mere literary figure. In the same way in which the Irish love the whimsical iconoclasm of Flann O'Brien, and Americans adore the free-spirited individualism of Jack Kerouac, Hašek's own maverick nature and ironically subversive writings have struck a chord with many Czechs, and he occupies a similar place in his nation's heart. Unfortunately, Hašek paid a heavy price for the life he led, and like the aforementioned writers, he also drank himself into an early grave. Hašek was not yet 40 years of age when he passed away, leaving the last volume of The Good Soldier Švejk unfinished. It's possible that despite his carefree attitude, Hašek may have been aware of his own shortcomings in life. Jan Schaap recounts a story that was apparently told by the owner of a pub, which Hašek regularly frequented in his final days.
The pubkeeper usually went to the first floor to bed, and he left Hašek in the bar so that he could draw his own beer overnight, for example. And the toilet was downstairs. And he says that when the pubkeeper went to the toilet downstairs, there was a moment when he could see Hašek at the bar, and Hašek didn't know that he could see him. And sometimes, allegedly, the master was crying. But as soon as he came downstairs, he was very cheerful. So I suppose, like they say about clowns, there were two sides, two faces to this very funny man.
Although there is a lingering sense that Hašek could perhaps have achieved a lot more if he could somehow have reined in his excesses, this final excerpt from the memoirs of his contemporary, Jaroslav Seifert, appears to suggest that Švejk came into being because of Hašek's dissolute lifestyle, not in spite of it. In any event, as Seifert duly notes, like all great writers, Hašek's life was inextricably bound up with his work, and ultimately helped him become the renowned author that we still read today.
He would sit at the corner of a table, and when he'd finished a few pages, one of his pals would take the manuscript directly to the publisher, who would pay out an appropriate amount for the work done, not a crown more, of course. In this way, one day and one evening were taken care of, Then the next day he would have to write again, if he didn't want to sit over an empty glass. Given this method of writing, one must ask, of course, how the book would have turned out if he'd written it in peace and comfort at a desk. But this is the eternal, fateful if. Maybe if Hašek had not written on beer-bespattered tables, in the noise of pub talk, among thirsty friends, because he needed a few 10-crown notes for beer, perhaps the book would not have been written, and Hašek would not become the Hašek whose name became famous all over Europe.
Translator Jan Chop there, ending that edition of Czech History by Colleen O'Connor.